BBC News.
This is BBC Radio 4. Now we've a new classic serial. In his celebrated novel of revenge and retribution, Alexandre Dumas brought to life the horrors of an island prison in the Bay of Marseille, a prison in which two jailers are preparing for a burial at sea.
The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas, adapted by Sebastian Bonchkevich. Part 1.
Who are we seeing to?
27.
Faria!
Governor wants him buried tonight.
The dead, they say, comprehend everything.
Behold him now in all his glory. The light, not so very great. Abbe Faria.
Stinks in here.
Never noticed.
But what of the man forced to live as though dead?
Oh, mother of God, he's heavier than he looked, ain't he, Twan?
Which way round do you want to do this?
Well, top of the head first. You hold the ends together and I'll start stitching up the shroud here.
What of the man, the living, scarcely breathing man?
You ever think it's true? The treasure Abbe Faria said he had stashed.
What of Edmond Dantès?
What do you think? Where's the weight?
You'd think you'd be stiffer in the limbs, wouldn't you?
Bring the barrel over, please.
5 hours is a long time.
You get hold of the weight, and I'll lift his feet in first.
And then...
the body.
You come here today, my most honoured friends, and ask me to describe all I know of the cataclysm in Paris.
Oh, what's what you're doing?
I'm sorry, Twan.
And now that a fitting and respectful time has passed, so as not to dishonour the insane and the dead, it is the Count's most solemn wish that I, Ede, his loved and trusted companion, now describe in every detail the events of that extraordinary year in Paris.
Get the body back in the barrow.
So that you may understand at last the meaning of the Count's actions.
I'm trying.
And comprehend finally the true nature of his wrath and revelation.
That's more like it.
But first, most honoured friends, you ask me to describe the situation of his birth.
Now, let's get rid of it.
His pedigree and parentage. But I must say to you clearly, and I hope without rancour, that the character of the Count is forged here, in the bowels of the notorious Chateau d'If, with neither pedigree nor parentage to guide or protect him, when he is still poor, wronged Edmond Dantès.
Imagine, though. Just imagine if Faria was right. The treasure of Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo's nothing but a pissing stop off Corsica. I'm getting way too old for this.
Armed only with a righteous storm of vengeful fury, which rages now in his embattled and broken heart.
Thunder now. Let's get this done, Twan.
Dantès. Dantès, when will your ordeal...
Maybe, Claude, you'd be so kind as to open the door to the parapet.
Be done.
There's no need to be nasty.
Mary and Joseph, wheel the barrow over to the buttress and tip it on my say-so.
But where are you going to be?
I'm carrying you down.
You're not expecting me to tip him without you?
My back's gone.
Then he can stay out here all night and you can explain that to the governor.
Oh, just tip it when I say so.
And now...
One.
At last...
Two.
He's...
Three.
Free. And it's here, in this one desperate moment, that the true beginnings of the Count may be properly perceived. It's here, in the depths of the unrepentant sea, pitch black and frozen, while Edmond Dantès, forgotten prisoner 34, struggles to discover the knife he has for so long concealed. A knife, he prays, will saw through the thoroughly secured bonds which hold him fast to the very bottom of the sea. Dantès, now tempted by the seduction of the deep, to relinquish, to surrender, to forget. Dantès, who knows that in actual fact he can never surrender. Dantès, who knows in every aching fibre of his being that he must, in actual fact, now fulfil the destiny he has appointed for himself, and at last be reborn.
Dantès.
Happy for you?
Our time together is short.
Am I dead?
On the contrary, dear Dantès, it is I who has passed.
But you can't be here, my dear old friend. You can't be.
Always remember, Edmund. Never forget.
Never forget what?
The names of those that wronged you. The names of those who connived to ensure your disgrace and destruction. Never forget them. Never.
No. No.
Then say them. Say them out loud for all the universe to hear.
I can't. I can't. I'm so tired.
Say them, Edmund.
Danglars.
Yes, Danglars. And?
Fenon.
And?
Fenon. The Catalan.
Dantès, good. Remember. Who else?
The prosecutor. The crown prosecutor.
His name, Dantès. Say his name.
De Villefort.
Repeat them. Repeat the names of those who betrayed you.
Danglars, Fenon, de Villefort.
Louder.
Danglars, Fenon, de Villefort.
Louder still, Dantès. Loud enough to wake the righteous.
Danglars, Fenon, de Villefort.
Good. Dantès.
But what of you, my dear Abbey?
Good lord, be there 34, you hear me?
At about this time, I'd imagine the prison guards are opening the door to your cell.
I'll talk to you, Dantès.
And we'll attempt to rouse you.
Stop playing silly buggers, 34, and get... Oh, no. Oh, bloody hell, no. Chloe! Chloe, someone fetch the governor!
What's that, Swan?
Dantès. Dantès has escaped.
What do you mean, escaped?
Look!
That's the Abbey.
Oh, no.
Then where's Dantès?
Exactly.
It is all exactly as we predicted, Dantès. But now you must concentrate. Now you must remember why God has given you this great opportunity.
Danglars, Fenon, de Villefort.
Yes.
Danglars, Fenon, de Villefort, and I shall be avenged.
Yes.
But how?
With God's blessing, Dantès. With the powers of deduction I taught you. And with the treasure. The treasure I bequeathed you. The treasure of
Monte Cristo.
Trust that you do God's will, dear Edmund. Trust that you are his chosen instrument of revenge and revelation.
I do trust it. I do.
And that from this moment on, no earthly king can ever command or contain you again. Rigor.
And then, as if sent by the very hand of God, the bloated body of a drowned Maltese seaman thumps insolently onto the rocks beside him. Dantès, swift as wild lightning, casts off his filthy prison shirt and hastily pulls on the drowned man's cap and blue jerkin.
Ahoy there! Ahoy!
Over here! Over here!
Where are you?
On the rocks here! On the rocks!
God, did you see the boat?
Look, I can't reach it!
Try!
It's not good!
You have to let go of the rock!
And be drowned!
I'll haul you in if you can grab it! Now try!
Help me! Help me! Swim! Toward the rope!
Oh, I have it! I have it!
Then hold fast! As I... Gotcha, Maltese!
Maltese!
Think, Dantes, think.
You are Maltese, aren't you? The wreck yonder! Thought you had to have been!
I am. Maltese, here, my ship was wrecked. Thank you. Thank you.
Who is he, Jacopo?
Poor man's half-drowned, Captain, but I think he's Maltese.
Throw him overboard. Check that none of these kegs is damaged.
Captain Batana...
Good watch, you're not thinking straight, Jacopo. He's a spy or squeals to the Coast Guard.
Then I'll cut his throat myself. Let's just give him a chance. That's all I ask.
For Christ's sake, let's get out of the storm.
Hey, have some rum, Maltese. That's it, my friend. That's it. Gently.
Oh, thank you.
Don't want you dying on us, do we?
What's your name?
The name's Jacopo. Now, listen to me. Because I don't want to have to say this twice, all right?
All right.
You don't know us. You don't remember us, clear?
Smugglers. You're smugglers.
And best you forget it. Now, rest up as well as you're able, and we'll see where we are in the morning. Assuming we're all here, that is.
Wait, friend. The year. What's the year?
What?
The year.
1829.
And the date?
February the 28th.
14 years. 14 years.
You've got to rest, Maltese.
Huh?
Rest.
But sleep will not come for Dantes.
14 years. 14 years.
By dawn, the storm has passed, leaving the sea restless, rebellious.
We'll never get her between those rocks, Captain! She's too wild!
Let me try!
We're way too close!
You think I don't know that? Steer around! Pull her!
I am pulling, but she won't!
Can I give her a try?
You need to get below, Monty!
I know these waters!
From where?
I've sailed them 100 times and worse than this, too!
Give your mate the wheel!
No! The trick is to sail her into the squall and then... Surprise her!
He's running away from the boat! Do you see that, Captain Patan?
Good work, Maltese! Oh,
where are we headed?
South to Corsica. You want me to take over?
Oh, she's a good boat, this. She handles well.
Of course she does. She's a Jeanne Amélie. Hold her steady now. Understood?
Nicely done, Maltese. Very nicely done.
Confident, suddenly youthful Edmond Dantes stands again at the prow of a ship.
Then here she comes!
And as the days become weeks, Dantes makes himself indispensable.
Who taught you to sell this good, Maltese?
Picked it up.
Piss it up. You're a master seaman.
Ask no questions, Jacopo.
But Sam won't hear a word against you. That's rare, Maltese. Rare like unicorns is rare.
You're a good man, Jacopo. And I owe you my life.
You did every man aboard a favor.
Doesn't mean I'm not grateful, though. Nor will I forget it. Never.
You're a strange one, Maltese.
But as Dantes confidently commands the wheel, there now rises before him a younger and more innocent incarnation of himself, standing at the prow of another great ship he came to think of as his own, the Pharaon. Observe her now, most honored friends, as she glides gracefully into the old port of Marseille.
Ahoy there, Dantes!
Monsieur Morel!
On that most fateful and accursed of days.
We thought we lost you!
Not a chance, monsieur!
That's a boy! Hold on! I'm coming aboard!
I'll have a rope lowered!
February the 24th. In the year 1815.
dead, Dantes? Captain Leclerc is dead?
14 long years before.
The crew mourn him to a man.
And you brought the Farron home in his stead?
As was my duty as first mate. Did I do wrong?
Wrong? Wrong? You may well have saved the business. You may well have saved Morel and Sons, boy. Well, your father will be so proud of you. Hey, Dongla!
Monsieur Morel?
Is the cargo safe?
Safe and sound and all accounted for. I have the complete inventory
and
if you'd like.
And that's all down to you, Edmund.
Sorry?
It was nothing.
Nothing, he says. Well, Dongla, I wouldn't want to guess at the true contents of your sorry soul, but you and the rest of the crew must be down on your knees thanking the good Lord for sending us Dantes here as Captain Leclerc's first mate.
I can't speak for the rest of the crew, but my poor knees are quite worn to splinters from all that giving thanks.
Worn to splinters. Did he hear that, Dantes?
Tie them ropes off.
Aye, aye.
Wait, Francois, I'm coming, if you'll excuse me. Monsieur Morel, Dongla.
Dantes.
Francois, give me the rope.
What a find that young man is. I shall make him captain, I think.
Of the Pharaoh?
Seafaring talent like that can't go to waste.
Well, indeed not, Monsieur Morel. Indeed not. Still, there is the matter of...
Of what?
Of our stop at Elba. Our unexpected stop. Most irregular.
What on earth were you doing on Elba?
Who can say? Well, I'm sure it was nothing.
But for God's sake, man.
Well, I did happen to glance in on poor Captain Leclerc as he lay dying and saw... Yeah, I'm sure it was nothing.
You saw what?
The captain give Dantes a package.
Addressed to?
Why, fortune teller, Monsieur Morel. All I know is that it delayed our arrival at Marseille by a good 2 days.
Isn't there something you should be doing, Dongla?
I'm all done, I believe.
Then lend a hand over there, will you?
Not upset you, I hope, sir. You did ask.
Yeah, not at all. It's just...
I'm on my way.
Dantes!
Monsieur!
What's this I hear about you stopping off at Elba? Was there some kind of emergency?
No, there was no emergency. Captain Leclerc gave me a package for the Grand Marshal.
The Grand? And did you deliver it?
As instructed.
It was an order.
It was Captain Leclerc's last.
I see. Listen, Edmund, while you were on Elba, you didn't happen to see...
He came to speak with the Marshal while I was there. Asked about the ship, its cargo. And when I mentioned your name, he recalled that he served with a Morel in Venice.
You spoke with him?
For half a minute.
And the Emperor remembered my Uncle Polycarp?
If that was his...
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All the same, Dantes.
Monsieur?
One shouldn't be talking openly of conversations with Napoleon Bonaparte. Especially in public.
No?
Edmund, my boy, listen. It doesn't matter how fine a sailor you are, you can't afford to be naive. Not with the Emperor exiled and the King restored. This is France. Politics. Politics. Everything is politics. Do you know what was contained in the package you handed to the Marshal?
No idea. I swear.
Yeah. And long may it stay that way.
The customs are coming aboard with your permission.
You're a good boy, Edmund. A good, good boy.
And you are the best of men. Indeed, I consider myself to have two fathers. My own and your own good self, monsieur.
You will send my very best to your father, won't you?
I will, sir. As soon as I'm done here, I intend to go straight home.
Oh, you'd better look lively there, Dantes. After all, I understand there's also a certain young Catalan who'll be very glad to know you're home safe.
Mercedes.
The most beautiful girl in all Marseille, they say.
In all the world, monsieur.
Talk like that would charm a mermaid boy.
Well, Monsieur Morel?
Haven't you got anything better to do than pester me, Dongla?
Did young Dantes give good reason for our stop at Elba?
He did, Dongla. He did, yes. Now, I'd like to see the inventory.
It's a shame to see him neglecting his duty.
He neglected nothing.
Then he told you about the other letter.
What other letter?
The letter he was given along with the package by Captain Leclerc. I was sure he would have mentioned it.
If that letter exists, then I'll ask for it and Edmund will give it straight to me.
Best not, monsieur. That sleeping dogs lie, eh?
Then why bring up the bloody thing, man?
Idle curiosity. Nothing more. I'd hate to see Dantes get into any kind of trouble, times being what they are. I'll fetch you up that infantry.
Maltese! Maltese!
But Dante's reverie is not to last.
Daydreaming again, Maltese?
Captain Patan.
Something the matter with you, man?
Not a thing.
Set a course for the Isle of Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo?
Someone step on your grave?
Huh?
Don't know the place, do you?
I'll set a course straight away.
And set a course for her he does, while his soul trembles with excitement and apprehension. Monte Cristo. Monte Cristo. Monte...
What the hell's happened?
Coast Guard Patrol, Captain Patan. Port side.
Can we outrun them?
No chance.
Bastards will kill us!
Maltese.
Yes, Captain.
Get yourself a gun.
A gun?
You know how to handle a gun, don't you?
I do.
And stand your ground.
You may depend upon it.
10 minutes later, and the deck of the Jeanne Amélie is soaked.
Help me, Maltese! Help me!
In blood.
They're not saving you, pirate!
Lower your weapon.
You're talking to me?
Lower your weapon or I shoot.
We are the king's coast guard.
I answer to no earthly king.
You what?
You killed him, Maltese. You bloody killed him.
Are you all right?
I think so.
Then let's get this done!
As dawn breaks across the sea, there is no sign of the Coast Guard or their scuttled boat. There is just the blue, blue water lapping in the still of the morning.
Did what we had to do, lads. Coast Guard wasn't looking to bring any of us in for trial. You know it. I know it. Now I say we head to Monte Cristo. Lead last night to the sea. You with me?
Aye.
What are we waiting for? Monte Cristo! Maltese, when you're ready!
With the gentlest of touches, the Jeanne Amélie at last sails out across that lively sea where even the waves seem to sing Monte Cristo. Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo!
Bring her in! Maltese!
Words cannot do justice to Dante's first glimpse of the barren Isle of Monte Cristo, with its outcrops of skull-white rock baking in the 2 o'clock sun.
Drop anchor!
With its flocks of wild goats scampering curiously this way and that as they take a first glimpse of the crew of the Jeanne Amélie now setting up camp on that long, undisturbed beach.
Maltese!
Yes, Captain?
You and Jacopo take a scout around the island while we set up camp down here.
I'd sooner go on my own.
Why?
I'll be faster on my own.
What are you standing there for?
Dante's heart is fit to burst with anticipation.
And Maltese!
Yes, Captain?
Bring us back some dinner!
For over an hour, Dante's climbs and clambers across the rocks of Monte Cristo, the words of Abbé Faria repeating in his ears.
Where dried river bed ends and the ravine begins, those are the caves where you were first to look.
Remorselessly, the sun beats down upon poor Dante's, but no amount of heat will slow him in his quest. And after an hour following the river...
The ravine. This must be the ravine.
Maltese! Where are you, Maltese?
Jacopo!
Captain says he wants everybody back in the boat!
On my way!
Did you kill a goat for roasting?
It's by the overhang over there.
Oh. What do you think, then? Monte Cristo.
I can see why nobody much bothers with it. Let's get back, shall we?
Maltese.
What?
When the Coast Guard came aboard...
Uh-huh.
...said you answered to no earthly king.
It was his life or yours.
Hey, and don't think I'm not grateful, but I still don't understand what...
If that's so, then I hope you'll do something for me, Jacopo.
Name it.
Never question me like that again. Agreed?
If you say so, Maltese.
The goat's in that cave, yonder.
You're not going to try and jump that gap, are you?
Watch me.
But what if you fall between the rocks?
I know what I'm doing.
Hey, you watch yourself.
Always.
Captain Patel, we need help here.
You're not suggesting I leave you here, Maltese.
I'm suggesting you finish your trade with the Turk and then send someone back to find me, Captain.
Try and move, just a little.
It's no good. My back.
I'll stay with him.
That might be best. You need Jacopo on board with you, Captain. You know... You know you do.
We'll leave you food, drink, and such provisions as you'll need. But mark my words, we'll be back for you, Maltese. Come, Jacopo!
Hey, you look after yourself, my friend.
You too.
I don't want to lose the wind, Jacopo!
I'll make sure Patin is true to his word.
Go!
That you can die on us!
Go!
But no sooner has the Jeune Amélie set sail than...
To work, Dantes, to work. Where dried river bed ends and the ravine begins, those are the caves where you are first to look.
You ask me, my most honored friends, to describe the exact location of where Dantes at last discovers.
Is this the cave, Abbé Faria? Is this the cave where you hid your treasure, my dear old friend?
But now, as his eyes adjust to the dark of the cave,
God be praised.
He sees, dazzling, even in that pale half-light, a cavern crammed tight with emeralds and diamonds and pearls without compare.
It's not possible.
Where he discovers such riches
as are not found in heaven.
And at this moment, in a forgotten cave on the all but forgotten isle of Monte Cristo.
Dead, you say?
I'm sorry to say so.
His true journey begins.
Dantes is dead.
He is.
To Dantes.
Dear departed
Dantes.
To Dantes.
Won't you at least let me pour your glass of wine in his memory, Abbé Bassoni?
I am quite content with water.
The sign of the Inn of the Pont du Gard creaks in even the slightest breeze.
Did you know poor Dantes well?
I administered the last rites to him.
Ah, then he died with a clear conscience.
His death, I do assure you, Monsieur Cadrousse, was utterly wretched.
But very few customers on that fly-bitten and dusty road outside Marseille ever stopped to hear it.
May I ask what it was killed him?
Prison killed him. That he survived as long as he did was a miracle in itself.
Did you just catch...
Habits one picks up. Now, fly away. Perhaps you might say a prayer for Dantes.
Let us look a little closer at the kindly, somewhat grizzled face of Abbé Bussoni.
You see how the Lord only punishes the good.
I believe the Lord only punishes the wicked.
And perhaps we may find features with which we are already acquainted.
Well, there I would have to disagree with you. I take Dantes.
Was Edmond Dantes good? I believed him to be a criminal.
Oh, there's a lot I could tell you about that young man. Things that happened.
There are.
But honour demands silence.
excuse I.
You knew his father, I believe.
Oh, old Louis Dantès. My poor heart breaks to even hear his name. How that man suffered, petitioning the magistrates every day for some news of his son, receiving nothing. Awful, awful.
He died of typhoid, I believe.
Typhoid? He died of starvation.
Starvation?
Sure you weren't acquainted with old Dante's father?
You say the old man petitioned every day.
Stood on the steps outside the Crown Prosecutor's office. But Monsieur de Villefort would not receive him.
De Villefort.
In fact...
The name is anguish.
De Villefort denied even interviewing Dantès on the night of his arrest. Can't have been anybody else, though, can it? He was the man in charge.
And is this Monsieur de Villefort still in Marseille?
Oh, went straight to the top, did de Villefort. No flies on him. Made Crown Prosecutor of Paris.
Crown Prosecutor?
Yeah, make no mistake. This is a very powerful man we're talking about. Made his name hunting down Bonapartists, revolutionaries.
Pedrus!
Yes, my butterfly.
How many times have I said about drinking with the customers?
But we don't have customers, do we? We never have customers. Now come down and talk with us, why don't you?
Who's this then?
Allow me to present my wife, Mathilde.
Enchanted, madam. I am the Abbé Busoni, and I am an acquaintance of an old friend of your husband's.
Which drunk would that be, then?
Now.
His name was Edmond Dantès.
Dantès? That's the boy that disappeared. The one you said...
Shh, come and sit down.
You knew him.
Speak your business, Mr. Priest.
Wine! My butterfly, wine.
Shut up! Well...
It was always Dante's avowed belief that he was wrongly accused and imprisoned. He spoke of it many times, and I must confess that I came to believe him.
I'd like you to leave, Abbé.
Of course.
Won't have that talk in my inn. Allegations! I won't have it.
I wasn't implying that you had any hand in it.
There are issues surrounding the case. Issues, Abbé Busoni, delicate issues.
Of course, I quite understand there are sensitivities. I assume then that you won't be interested in what Dantès has bequeathed to you.
Bequeathed to
a
us?
A pleasure talking to you, Monsieur Cadrousse, madam.
What did Dantès leave us?
I thought you wanted me
well,
to...
Well, can't have been much, can it?
Can't it?
Glances. Curious, avaricious glances are exchanged between husband and wife. Glances the Abbé does not fail to note.
For a few years, Dantès cared for a fellow prisoner who was incarcerated in the same cell as him, Lord Wilmore, an Englishman released after the collapse of the Republic and the restoration of King Louis.
God save him!
Quite. In gratitude, Wilmore left young Dantès this.
What is that? Is that
Is this some sort of joke?
I assure you it is not.
Then what is it?
It is what it looks like.
Well, it looks like a diamond ring.
The stone alone is worth 75,000 francs, I believe. And it was Dante's last wish that I sell it and divide its value five ways. A fifth to your good self, Monsieur Cadrousse. A fifth to Danglars, who served with him upon the Ferron. Another to Fernand, the Catalan fisherman. Another to his beloved fiancée, Mercedes. And a last fifth to his dear departed... Excuse me. To his dear departed father, Louis Dantès. But since I now learn that old Dantès is dead, then its value will have to be divided into four and shared amongst his remaining trusted friends. What do you say, monsieur?
But at the inn of the Pont du Gard... There is only an astonished silence and the creak of a long-neglected sign.
I say there are things that you should know about these so-called friends of poor Edmond Dantès.
Things?
Bolt the door, wife. The inn of the Pont du Gard is closed for the rest of the day.
Mind if I take a closer look at that ring?
With pleasure.
Oh. And you wouldn't be lying to us, Father.
Abbé Busoni's a man of God, my butterfly. And I won't have him insulted with insinuations. Not while he rests beneath my roof. Now bolt the door.
But I must tell you, in all seriousness, Abbé Busoni, that the men of whom I'm about to speak are powerful, powerful people now.
These friends of Dante.
Very powerful. Do you understand?
I'm not sure that
they could crush us. Easy as you could have crushed that fly.
I see.
So, where to begin?
A light gleams now in the eyes of the innkeeper Cadrus.
I suggest the beginning.
A light as bright as diamonds, glittering deliciously in a flame.
Night before Dantes was arrested, we was all in this bar. Just off the quayside, the Marionette. There was me, Danglars, and the Catalan fisherman, Fanon.
Go on.
Of course, we're going back 15 years here. But I recall that night clear as if it was yesterday. Danglars had just returned from 3 months at sea with Dantes, and he had a right thirst on him. But the way I remember it, it was Fanon who said,
"Captain." Old Morel made Edmund Bloody Dantes captain of the Pharaon.
Tell the worm, why don't you?
But that's not right, Danglars. That's out of order, that is. You deserve captain, and I don't care who knows it.
Dantes is a good man. He'll do well. To Dantes.
To Dantes.
Dantes. Always bloody Dantes. Did you see him in Mercedes on the quayside? Bloody Romeo and Juliet. He's only been away 3 months. Me, I've been at her side day after day, waiting for something, anything, some sign of affection. I even sing to her.
So does a sweet little pussycat.
You want to take this outside?
Hey. Will you stop making a spectacle of yourself, Fernand?
But I love her. I love her.
And I'd sooner be captain of the Pharaon. But we can't have everything in this life.
Pass a bit more at wine, Maria.
It's only because you have never loved that you can be so callous.
The only thing you want to do is get inside them pretty petticoats. I've seen the way you look at her. Naughty, naughty for now.
Another word and I'll cut your drunken throat, Cadrus, I will.
Still, I do feel bad about one thing.
And what's that?
Protecting a traitor. Not doing my duty to the king.
What are you talking about?
Dantes has a letter. Don't know who it's addressed to exactly, but 2 days shy of getting back to Marseille, he decides to drop anchor at Elba. See the Emperor.
You saying Dantes is plotting to bring Bonaparte back?
I'm saying that I don't feel right about knowing what I do as a loyal and true subject of His Majesty. That's why I wrote this.
For the attention of the Crown Prosecutor, Monsieur de Villefort.
Read it quietly, man. Jesus.
Don't look like you're writing.
Because I disguised it, stupid. Read.
For the attention of the Crown Prosecutor, Monsieur de Villefort, regarding Edmond Dantes, first mate of the Pharaon, arriving today, 24th of February 1815, at Marseille, Dantes holds a letter addressed to a member or members of the traitorous Bonapartist committee in Paris. Incontrovertible proof of his guilt will be made when the letter is found upon his person. Dantes may be discovered at his father's house or aboard the Pharaon. Oh, my, Danglars.
You can't send that. It would destroy him.
Why not?
For now.
Maybe it does go a bit far, Danglars.
Ah, you're right. You're both right. I'm sorry I wrote it. Pass us that candle and I'll burn the note right now.
Wait.
What?
Just scrunch it up.
Like this?
Exactly like that. Now chuck it away.
Done.
You don't want to leave that thing lying about in here. Anyone could pick it up.
Is that a fact? Have another drink, Cadrus. On me.
What about the note?
What about what?
The note.
Oh. It's nothing for you to worry about, Cadrus. In fact, as I recall, you never saw any note, did you?
And with that, Danglars and Fanon walked out of the bar, but...
Night has wrapped its cloak about the scuffed old table, and only a solitary candle.
But it was all a ruse.
Gutters.
Because no sooner had Fanon and Danglars made it look as if they'd left the bar, then back comes Fanon to retrieve the note and deliver it straight to the authorities. To de Villefort.
You saw this?
I was out in the alley, wasn't I? taking myself a moment, if you know what I mean, dear Abbey.
And you heard?
Everything.
Did you get the letter back, Fennel?
I did, Danglar. I did. Oh. What do we do about Caderousse?
Caderousse is a thief and a drunk. There's nobody going to take his word over ours.
Perhaps he should have himself an accident.
And draw attention to ourselves. Think, Fennel, think.
All right. Now, no need to say it like...
You're clear, Fennel. Clear about what will happen as soon as this letter is delivered. The consequences.
Dantès will be arrested, Danglars.
Dantès will be arrested and more than likely thrown in jail for treason.
Then that will be an end to him.
And you can live with that.
If it means you get to be captain of the Pharaoh and I marry Mercedes, then...
And nobody must ever know.
Won't be me that opens his mouth.
Then deliver the letter to the prosecutor's office.
Why can't you go?
Because I might be recognised, dummy.
Who are you calling a dummy?
Will you please just get a grip on that temper of yours? Now, go.
And did he go? Of course he did. Young Dantès was arrested at his wedding feast with Mercedes. Guards just marched right in, took him off to who knows where.
But there's been a mistake.
That's what they all say, Dantès.
But I don't know what I'm supposed to have done.
Save it for the Grand Prosecutor. Now get on your feet!
Mercedes! Mercedes!
And that was the last I heard of him, until you showed up here this evening.
And Fernand and Danglars, what became of them?
Fernand joins the army, didn't he? Rises high, decorated. Bags himself the title of the Commander de Morcerf. Very nice, thank you.
Commander de Morcerf.
And Danglars?
Is now an investment banker. And it's Baron Danglars, thank you very much. One of the richest men in Paris, they say. And very powerful. They both are. That's why we must be cautious, discreet.
Then Edmond Dantès was betrayed both by Commander de Morcerf and Baron Danglars.
On Jesus' blood, all I say here tonight is true.
Then you were right, Abbé Faria. Right about everything.
What?
My husband is a lot of things, but a liar he is not.
Thank you both for your candour. If you would bring me my hat, Monsieur Caderousse.
Of course.
Aren't you forgetting something, Abbé Fassone?
Forgive me, my dear lady. There is just one more question I have.
And that is?
Mercedes. Dante's fiancée, did she not wait for him?
She waited for years, didn't she?
The poor girl's heart was quite broken.
Yeah.
For 2 years, she resisted Fernand's advances, petitioned the court, until...
Until?
She accepted, finally, that her Edmund was never coming back and was most likely dead. That's when she married Fernand.
After everything he did to Dante's?
Yeah, don't suppose she had any idea, did she? They've even got a boy, I think.
Albert.
Quite the little prince, I hear.
I see. Well, then, what can I say? Monsieur Caderousse, madame.
Oh.
May Dante's diamond bring you all the happiness you deserve.
And Baron Danglars, Commander Fernand.
Are not worth further discussion. Oh.
Bless you, Abbé Bassoni. Bless you.
An hour later, and Monsieur and Madame Caderousse consider their good fortune.
We should go get it valued.
I'll be sure to do that tomorrow.
I'll come with you. It's a while since I got to Marseille.
Believe it best if you stay here, wife.
Beg pardon?
Said it would be better if you stayed here.
Well, what's that supposed to mean? Husband!
Time to fly away, my little butterfly.
Get away from me! Caderousse! Get away from me!
While at the side of the road, in the depths of that dry and savage night, a man sits, weeping.
Oh, Father.
For all that he has so grievously lost.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I quite caught the name.
Lord Wilmore.
We have heard this name before.
And our business is?
Edmond Dantès, imprisoned in the Chateau d'If.
And we have met this man before. Disguised first as a corpse, and later as a priest.
I'm looking for information.
You've dropped some coins, your lordship.
600 francs, if I'm not mistaken. Would you say it was enough to gain a glance at an old prison record?
600.
The Dantes file would be kept here in the public records office. Edmund Dantes.
It would. It would.
Then...
Edmund Dantes. Edmund Dantes. Ah! Here it is. The case file. Right at the very bottom.
It appears somebody may have attempted to bury it.
It would seem so. Although, you do know that this prisoner tried to escape from the Chateau d'If.
I didn't know that.
About a year or so ago, quite the scandal it was. Disguised himself as the corpse of an old priest.
Oh, heavens!
Fazir, or Faria, or some such. The two of them were in cahoots, apparently. They'd even dug some sort of a tunnel between their cells. Desperate measures, eh?
Then this Dantes is at large.
No, no, sir. Not a chance. Nobody escapes the D'If. Dantes was thrown into the sea. Cannonball about his feet.
He's dead?
Drowned, without a doubt.
Would you mind if I took a look at it, the file?
Be my guest, your lordship.
And are these notes on the arrest papers from de Villefort?
That's the Crown Prosecutor's signature, yes. The notes would have been taken on the night of Dantes' arrest.
I see.
Is there anything else I can do for you, Lord Wilmore?
You've been more than helpful, Monsieur Beauville. Thank you.
There they are. A little faded, but quite distinguishable. The words Dantes has dreaded for so very long.
Regarding Edmond Dantes, fanatical Bonapartist, plotted return Bonaparte from Elba, solitary confinement in the Chateau d'If, close supervision, N-A-T-B-T. Well, what do these letters signify?
May I see? No action to be taken. It means the prisoner, Dantes, was considered to be too dangerous to be released.
Ever?
It would seem so.
And the handwriting is...
That of de Villefort, the Crown Prosecutor?
It's definitely his hand.
I've seen that signature 1,000 times.
And these letters here?
Are petitions from one Mercedes Roaz, Louis Dantes, the prisoner's father, and Monsieur Morel, the prisoner's employer. Ran the trading firm Morel and Sons down at the old port.
Ran?
I hear the old man Morel's fallen on hard times. Apparently the company's on the very brink of collapse. Such a fine family, too. Shame, really. Where were we?
Let's call our agreed sum 1,000.
Your lordship, I don't know what to say.
I can, of course, trust upon your discretion.
Of course, absolutely.
Lost? The Pharaon is lost?
Yeah, but the crew survived. I had confirmation from Penelon, the first mate.
But the loss of the Pharaon must have dire implications for your business, Monsieur Morel.
Dire implications. It means we are ruined, sir.
Lord Wilmore, face shadowed, eyes narrowed, stares intently at the worried man before him. A man worry has made stooped, nervous.
And now you are come to me today with, I'm sure, a final demand for all that we owe your company in Rome, Lord Wilmore.
Actually, the contrary.
Beg pardon?
I'm authorized by Messrs. Thompson and French of Rome to extend your credit. It is all here.
Extended?
I assume that this will help you manage your business for at least 3 more months.
But your lordship, without a boat...
As a resourceful man of business, you have my every confidence.
But this is more than we could possibly have...
Hoped for, yes.
Allow me to shake your hand once more, Lord Wilmore.
Monsieur Morel, I assure you that this decision is based solely on your solid business performance over the last 40 years. Let us not be sentimental.
Indeed not.
Then please accept this note of security.
I don't know what to say.
Well, when one discovers oneself to be at a loss for words, it is always good advice, I find, to say nothing. We shall meet again on the morning of September the 5th, at which time we shall reassess your financial situation. Is that acceptable?
Oh, more than acceptable.
Until the 5th.
Until then.
And now, as old man Morel gathers his wife and daughter to share in his unexpectedly good news, Lord Wilmore walks purposefully towards his handcrafted yacht, exhaustively fitted with every conceivable comfort.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you, Jacopo.
But no sooner is Lord Wilmore aboard and away from the prying eyes of the always curious Marseillais.
Successful meeting, Maltese?
Most satisfactory.
Then he removes his ostrich-feathered hat and ornately laced collar and gently tugs off his soft leather boots, unmistakably revealing...
Jacopo.
Edmond Dantès.
I need you to listen carefully to me.
Yes, sir?
There is a man I would like you to find right away. His name is Penelon. Tell him that if he loves the Morels, as I know he does, then he's to do all that is asked of him without question.
Straight away.
And Jacopo.
Yes, sir.
Discretion.
Always, Maltese.
Father! Father!
But 3 months pass as swift as wasps.
Leave me be, Maximilian, please.
About spilt honey.
I insist that you open the door!
Did I not make myself clear?
Perfectly!
What are you doing?
Father?
Not another step, Maximilian, and please don't interfere. The gun is loaded.
As is mine.
What?
I have come to join you, Father.
Join me?
Let us both die here today, as father and son, in these once proud offices of Morel and Sons.
Family honour requires only my blood.
Our bankruptcy besmirches us all. I insist I die with you.
But who will look after your mother and sister if we both take our lives today?
My mind is quite made up.
And who will tell Lord Wilmore our business is collapsed, if not you, Maximilian?
Is he coming today?
September the 5th.
But honour demands...
Family honour demands my death, not yours, Max. Thank you, Mother, for all that we have been blessed with over the years. Attend to your sister Julie, too. She is your responsibility now.
Father! Father!
The door, Maximilian. I don't want your sister distressed.
Of course. Well, this may not be the best time for any...
For what?
You must listen to your brother, Julie.
A gun, Father?
These are not matters that concern you.
Not matters that... Max?
Honour demands.
Honour demands that you look at this.
Is that a diamond?
It is.
From where?
I don't know, but I received a letter from some person who signed himself as Sinbad.
Sinbad?
And, according to the letter, it is Sinbad's greatest sorrow to see the once great name of Morel brought low. So for that reason, he wanted me to accept this diamond on your behalf.
It is out of the question. Completely out of the question. Who is this Sinbad?
From the tone of his letter, I sensed that he was very familiar with our family. But the diamond is not the reason I'm here, Father.
It isn't?
The Pharaon is saved.
What?
It's coming into port right now. Morel and Sons is saved from ruin, Father. See for yourself.
Can this really be?
The eyeglass. Fetch me the eyeglass.
Here you are.
That's Henry. That's Penelon on the deck. And he's waving. Morel and Sons is saved, Max. My hat. Where's my hat? We must get down there immediately. Put the guns away, man.
Yes, yes, Father.
The Lord be praised!
But we cannot linger here, my most honoured friends. We cannot watch as the Pharaon is unloaded and the fortunes of the family are reversed. Nor can we afford to idle away a minute or two studying the familiar features of the gentleman in the canary yellow cloak, who observes this scene from the shadows of a vintner's doorway and who brushes away a solitary tear as he gives the signal...
Set a course for Greece, Jacopo.
Straight away, Maltese.
...to set sail...
Good lady there, lads! We sail within the half hour!
I don't know what more I can say about him, Maximilian.
But he must have told you something about himself. Anything?
All I know is that I owe him my life.
Of course you recognize our location, my most honored guests.
Honestly, Maximilian, he's like some kind of benevolent octopus with an invisible network of tentacles spreading every which way at once.
An octopus? And you arranged to rendezvous with him today?
10 o'clock at my apartments on the 21st of May.
Yes, we are in Paris, in the fashionably decorated drawing room of one of its most eligible bachelors.
Do try to look just the tiniest bit interested, Max.
Albert de Morcerf.
I am.
And did we not last see his guest, Maximilian Morel, on a quayside in Marseille some 10 long years before?
He is, without doubt, the most extraordinary fellow.
For now it is time to speak of the cataclysm.
Excuse me, sir.
The cataclysm in Paris.
Yes, Marcel?
There is a gentleman at the door, sir. He says he has an appointment with you.
Did he give a name?
He did, sir. The Count of Monte Cristo.
In The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas, adapted by Sebastian Bonchkevich, Edmond Dantès is played by Ian Glenn, Aide by Jean Lapoterre, Abbé Faria by Richard Johnson, and Monsieur Morel by Robert Blythe. Danglars is Toby Jones, Fernand Zubin Varla, Cadrousse Ben Crowe, Mathilde Liza Sadovy, and Jacopo Joe Sims. Captain Patin is played by Patrick Brennan, Albert de Morcerf by Will Howard, Max Morel by Adam Nagaitis, Julie Morel by Eleanor Crooks, and Claude by Paul Stonehouse. The music is by David Tobin and Jeff Megan, and the directors are Jeremy Mortimer and Sasha Yevtushenko.
Next Sunday, the Count of Monte Cristo continues his slow revenge as he uncovers the hidden past of de Morcerf. There's another chance to hear the first part this Saturday evening at 9 o'clock, and the serial is available via the Radio 4 website. And to coincide with the broadcast of The Count of Monte Cristo, our Book of the Week this coming week is Tom Rice's account of the life of Alexandre Dumas' father, General Alex Dumas. The Black Count, Glory, Revolution, Betrayal and the Real Count of Monte Cristo start tomorrow at 9:45 in the morning and again at 12:30. After the news here on Radio 4, this week's open book is devoted to the joys of children's literature.